This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It is Take Command live from Indianapolis in part. Logan is in Ashburn and will be here tomorrow, of course, the day that I leave. But I am here in Indy, and sitting next to me is the one man in NFL media who can make me put in hair product. Logan, it is Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. How about that for an introduction, my friend?
That was good. That was good. I appreciate it. Not a lot of heavy product going into the hair, honestly. Just, you know, a couple of years ago, I figured out, why women?
You told me the trick last year.
What was it? What did I say?
You got to blow dry it.
That's what I'm saying. I did for many years. I was like, how do people get their hair to stay a certain way? And then somebody's like, dude, you just blow dry it. And you know what? Turns out they're right.
You can't. I don't know. People listening to the audio, there's no product in your hair right now.
No, there is a small amount of product. Right. We have a small amount of little,
but that's just to hold what the hair dryer does, Logan. This man changed my life last year with that trip. Or that
it does
tip.
Look good.
Today got the hotel hair dryer.
King.
Little bit of product
there
just
it
to
is.
Hold it.
There it is.
Can't
King.
Be looking like a bum next
We're
to this
evolving.
Dude.
We're evolving.
All right. So with that, the hair stuff out of the way, Trevor is, of course, the lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, and we're going to talk NFL draft. So, Logan, where do you want to start with Trevor? Because obviously the Commander, this conversation was very different last year. We're talking quarterbacks nonstop, the number two in the draft, as we've been talking about and will continue to talk about. Very different situation at 29. So where do you want to start with Trevor in exchanging notes here?
Yeah, I just think maybe the best question for the fans is like, where are you at? You know, because everyone uses the PFF, you know, draft simulator, and they see your rankings. That's pretty much your deal on there. Where are you at with your rankings? Where does the Senior Bowl fit into those rankings? And how does an event like the Combine affect those rankings? And I guess the third part would be like, who are you feeling good about for the Commanders at 29?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about these events, they're a lot of fun. First and foremost, because you get to know these players a little bit more, even if it's just in the podium sessions. Like, there are a couple of guys, you know, edge rushers, which I know is a position that the Commanders are kind of taking a hard look at. You know, we're sitting here this morning and Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. I mean, I was so impressed with him and his podium and just how he approaches the game. You know, somebody asked him, hey, what do you think separates you in a really good edge rushing class? And he's like, it's my mentality, like how I approach the game, how I go about pass rushing, how I understand, you know, it's a game of, okay, setting guys up a certain way. And he broke down somebody asked him about a ghost move because he likes using a ghost move as a pass rusher, and he's like, dude, you can't just kind of like throw that all willy-nilly. Like, you got to set that up. Like, it's got to be with purpose. You got to do a couple of different things first to make sure that the offensive linemen are going to kind of be sitting back in their stance or open up their chest a little bit. And just an answer like that, just off the top of his head, you could tell that he studies the game, he knows the game as well. I mean, Jalen Walker as well, the linebacker slash edge rusher from Georgia, was fantastic at his podium too. So like, just listening to guys and who they are underneath the helmet or between the ears, if you will, I think goes a long way into these events. But when it comes to evaluation, I think that the Senior Bowl, the combine, a lot of it is you want to be checking the things that you've already seen in their game tape. Like, it's new environments, it's different environments. For example, like for an edge rusher, if you're going to be a lighter speed rusher, and like James Pierce Jr., here, this is a great example, the edge rusher from Tennessee. He wins as a speed rusher. He wins as the first step. He attacks the outside shoulders consistently. He's always a threat to get around the edge and up the arc. We need you to test well. I need to see that in the 40-yard dash, the 10-yard split, more importantly, the broad jump, the vertical jump. Like, I need to see that explosiveness. And if you could showcase that here as much as on your tape, then I go, okay, you're an athlete that can really just conjure that sort of explosiveness whenever you want. And I think that that's really important. So you want it to be, and the Senior Bowl is sort of the same way. How you win your reps at the Senior Bowl, how you might lose your reps at the Senior Bowl. That obviously you're putting the pads on, and it's a little bit more of a tangible thing because you're actually playing the game of football. But to me, it's a lot more of you're just trying to make sure what you have seen on film is not deceiving you, or they're not hiding any of your deficiencies by playing in a certain scheme or a certain defense or something like that. So I mentioned a couple of those edge rushers. Donovan Ezeraku, I think, is somebody who's a target for them if they want to go a little bit more heavy-handed. A guy like Nix Gordon from Texas A&M is somebody that I think about for the Washington Commanders. You know, he talked a little bit about, hey, you know, he didn't have as much production this year at Texas A&M versus what he had last year at Purdue. And he sort of went on to explain Purdue's defense for him. I'm sort of speaking as him here. He's like, it was very simple for me. I rushed from one side of the defensive line and they just told me to get after the quarterback. That's about it. And he said when he was at Texas A&M, it was a lot more versatile. They had him rushing from the left side, from the right side. They had him kick inside a little bit more to three technique defense. Defensive tackle. He said he learned how to become a much better, much more versatile run defender. And so, yeah, the stats took a step back, but he said he became more of a versatile player. So those are a handful of guys that just thinking about Washington there at the end of the first round, especially on the defensive line, since it's fresh in my mind, that I think is targets for him.
So before we get into more like specific guys and your evals on these guys, a question that I'm going to ask everybody that sits down here this week that I think is interesting, especially from your lens, is there anything that the way Washington built their team and had the success they had, anything that changes the way you think about the NFL's and finding success in it or team building? Because they were very clear with certain things that mattered a lot to them. And, you know, you can mark that down as like political messaging or say like, oh, maybe that's something I should be considering more. And I'm curious right. How someone in your position looks at what Washington did. Player acquisition, free agency, but especially for you in the draft, and goes, oh, maybe that's something that I should be thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that pops into my head is just them drafting and how they played Mike Sainristil at the cornerback position. And it's just, this is a player who came in a smaller size. We're basically told, hey, he's just a slot cornerback at the NFL level, and look what he did this year. Okay, yeah, sure, it was a little bit out of necessity, but they were not afraid to move this guy to the outside. And that, to me, of course, it speaks to Sainristil's sort of like versatility and his ability as a football player, but it also speaks to his football character and how they were very willing to say, hey, I know you didn't play outside corner really much at all when you were at Michigan. We're going to ask you to do this. And they weren't afraid to ask him to do this because they had already done the due diligence during the draft process to know that if, you know, stuff hit the fan and he really needed to play outside, that they were very comfortable doing that. So that's sort of the first example that comes into my head because I'm such a Dan Quinn guy. I love Dan Quinn. I thought he built great teams when he was in Atlanta. If we're being honest, probably should have won that Super Bowl when they got to the Super Bowl. So for all intents and purposes, you call him a Super Bowl caliber sort of a head coach. And even when he was with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, whether it was Deron Bland, whether it was Trayvon Diggs, I mean, like, these guys were high impact players for him. And it was really because I think he puts them in those positions to succeed and empowers them in certain ways. So it's sort of a roundabout way to answer that question of, you look at like what the Detroit Lions are doing, for example, where over the last, you know, 2 to 3 drafts, remember they traded up and they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs at number 12.
People right.
Like, what are you doing? Out. You can't right. do that. You, right. you can't trade up and draft the running back that high, or, you know, drafting Jack Campbell as high as they did, or Sam Laporta even. And you go, you can't do this. These aren't premium positions, and they're just drafting the right football players. And if you fast forward a little bit, 2-3 years down the road, you just have one of the best rosters in the NFL. That's the way that I sort of look at what Washington was able to do last year when they were in free agency, some of the initial roster turnover they had, and even how they approached the draft is I just don't think that they're going to be afraid, or I don't think that they're going to pigeonhole themselves into thinking, oh, we have to have an edge rusher here or something like that. Like, they're just going to pick the best football players for sure.
And so, yeah, talking about best football players, and this is something you talked about on your podcast, the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, is like, you
look at
are,
you plug in like a pro.
I listen to it. It's one of the, it's an awesome show. You know what I mean? So a great way to get information. But you talk about how you have your evaluation, right? But you also are kind of in this weird space of also thinking about what a team's going to do. And so when you look at Washington, like, again, I think this is kind of piggybacking off Craig's question. Like, how do you see them selecting guys? Like, I think of, like, when I think of Washington, I see them looking for high character, good leadership qualities. Maybe the football upside isn't all the way there all the time. You know, Mike Sanderson is maybe a bad example of that. But how do you kind of weigh that in your evaluation? And do you think Washington goes in a similar direction this year? Or, like you're saying, do they just say, hey, this dude's a freak at the spot. We have a locker room and a culture that's established now. We can tolerate a player who's maybe not of the same kind of like team captain, four-year starter that we were really prioritizing last year.
Well, I think first and foremost, you're always, no matter what team you are, you're always going to try to prioritize those guys, right? You want your entire football team to be made up of team captains that were all team captains when they were playing in college and things like that. You know, sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes you get juniors, sometimes you get guys who were underclassmen and maybe their game's not as mature, maybe they're not as mature as a person, but you hopefully feel good about the staff that you have around him to where you can draft any of these players that you think might be fits. I mean, when I look at the Commanders, it's a little bit tough because it is the first year for Dan Quinn. And so with so much sort of roster turnover from Rivera's guys to his guys last year, I think free agency is also going to tell us a lot about what this team wants to do structurally next season and beyond, because right now I look at the Commanders and it's like, okay, I think this is a team that wants to win with four up front. I think they want to be an even front type of a team. Of course, like when you're a nickel, you're playing just two middle linebackers right behind them. But I feel like I felt as though they were pretty versatile in coverage last year, but I don't know if that was necessarily because it's like, okay, we're still getting guys in and out of the building that are going to be able to run our system, or if they did truly just want a lot of that versatility. Again, I think that as they sort of continue to build out their secondary, that's the part that when you ask, like, okay, just specific Commanders targets for this team, that's what I really want to see from them. Are they going to lean more into, we're going to get man coverage corners on the outside, or are they going to be guys who are primarily more like off coverage type of players? You saw during his time when he was with the Dallas Cowboys, yeah, you could play some man coverage with him, but it was a lot of being able to play in off coverage, being able to hunt the football, you know, like that kinds of stuff, that quarters coverage from their secondary. So that's a big area where I'm looking to sort of see what they're going to do in free agency. And that will be able to, I think, help answer the question better that you're asking of, like, what are the types of players that they go for? High character, everybody wants high character, but I'm more interested to, over the next month, figure out what scheme are they leaning into more when it comes to a lot of those players that they're going to continue to build out their roster with.